Number 1. To whom it may concern. My wife and I are residents of the Lakeview Senior Apartment Complex. We have been asked by some of the residents here to see if we can help improve their ability to get around town independently. The closest bus stop is half a mile below the apartment complex down a steep hill. Very few of the residents here feel comfortable walking all the way to, and especially from, the bus stop. We are asking if the route for bus 15 could be changed slightly to come up the hill to the complex. I can promise you several very grateful riders each day in each direction. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Sincerely, Ron Miller.
Number 2. Anne-Marie looked up, panting, just as she reached the corner. Her heart seemed to skip a beat. "Halt," the soldier ordered in a stern voice. The German word was as familiar as it was scary. Anne-Marie had heard it often enough before, but it had never been directed at her until now. Behind her, Ellen also slowed and stopped. Anne-Marie stared up. There were two of them. That meant two helmets, two sets of cold eyes glaring at her, and four tall, shiny boots planted firmly on the sidewalk, blocking her path to home. And it meant two guns, gripped in the hands of the soldiers. She was motionless as she stared at the guns.
Number 3. Kids learn mostly by example. They model their own behavior after their parents and their older siblings. If your kids have bad eating habits, ask yourself how that happened in the first place. If you eat a poor diet yourself, neglect your health, or smoke and drink in front of them, you shouldn't be surprised when your children go down the same road. So, be a good role model and set the stage for healthy eating at home and when you eat out as a family. Your actions speak louder than your words. Do not expect your kids to know for themselves what is good for them.
Number 4. If you walk into a room that smells of freshly baked bread, you quickly detect the rather pleasant smell. However, stay in the room for a few minutes, and the smell will seem to disappear. In fact, the only way to detect it again is to walk out of the room and come back in. The exact same concept applies to many areas of our lives, including happiness. Everyone has something to be happy about. Perhaps they have a loving partner, good health, a satisfying job, a comfortable house, or enough food to eat. As time passes, however, they get used to what they have, and, just like the smell of fresh bread, these wonderful assets get out of their mind. As the old proverb goes, you never miss the water till the well runs dry.
Number 5. One day, after the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded, Ulrich Neisser asked a class of 106 students to write down exactly where they were when they heard the news. 2.5 years later, he asked them the same question. In that second interview, 25% of the students gave completely different answers. Half had significant errors and less than 10% remembered properly. This is one reason why people make mistakes on the witness stand when they have to describe a crime they saw months before. Between 1989 and 2007, 201 prisoners in the United States were proven innocent through DNA evidence. 75% of those prisoners had been declared guilty on the basis of mistaken eyewitness accounts.
Number 6. In 2000, the government in Glasgow, Scotland, appeared to stumble on a remarkable crime prevention strategy. Officials hired a team to beautify the city by installing a series of blue lights in various noticeable locations. In theory, blue lights are more attractive and calming than the yellow and white lights that illuminate much of the city at night. And indeed, the blue lights seemed to cast a soothing glow. Months passed, and the city's crime statisticians noticed a striking trend. The locations that were newly bathed in blue experienced a dramatic decline in criminal activity. The blue lights in Glasgow, which mimicked the lights atop police cars, seemed to imply that the police were always watching. The lights were never designed to reduce crime, but that's exactly what they appeared to be doing.
Number 7. Edith Wharton was born into a wealthy family in 1862 in New York City. Educated by private tutors at home, she enjoyed reading and writing early on. After her first novel, The Valley of Decision, was published in 1902, she wrote many novels and some gained her a wide audience. Wharton also had a great love of architecture, and she designed and built her first real home. During World War I, she devoted much of her time to assisting orphans from France and Belgium and helped raise funds to support them. After the war, she settled in Provence, France, and she finished writing The Age of Innocence there. This novel won Wharton the 1921 Pulitzer Prize, making her the first woman to win the award.
Number 8. The Good Time DIY Halloween Costume Contest. Show off your creativity by creating a DIY, do-it-yourself Halloween costume. Who can enter? Contestants must live in the state of Wisconsin. Rules and guidelines. Only one entry per contestant. We will accept only one photo of you wearing the costume you made. Videos are not allowed. Photos must be submitted by October 25th. Prizes. The top 10 entries will be picked through public online voting, and our fashion designers will decide the final winners. First place, tablet PC and Halloween costume set. Second and third places, $100 Good Time gift certificate.
Number 9. What could be wrong with the compliment, "I'm so proud of you"? Plenty. Just as it is unwise to offer your child false praise, it is also a mistake to reward all of his accomplishments. Although rewards sound so positive, they can often lead to negative consequences. It is because they can take away from the love of learning. If you steadily reward a child for her accomplishments, She starts to focus more on getting the reward than on what she did to earn it. The focus of her excitement shifts from enjoying learning itself to pleasing you. If you applaud every time your child identifies a letter, she may become a praise lover who eventually becomes less interested in learning the alphabet for its own sake than for hearing you applaud.
Number 10. A study in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology suggests a way to make negotiations go smoother. This study surveyed college students who negotiated the purchase of a motorcycle over an online instant messenger. The participants answered that when they believed they were physically far apart, more than 15 miles, negotiations were easier and showed more compromise than when they believed they were closer, a few feet. The experimenters explain that when people are farther apart, they consider the factors in a more abstract way. Meanwhile, they focus on the main issues rather than getting hung up on less important points. So next time you have to work out a complex deal, the researchers say it may be worthwhile to begin from a distance.
Number 11. A lot of money and time is spent each year trying to teach managers how to coach their employees and give them effective feedback. Yet, much of this training is ineffective, and many managers remain poor coaches. Why is that? Research sheds light on why corporate training often fails. Studies by Peter Hesling and his colleagues show that many managers do not believe in personal change. These managers judge employees as competent or incompetent at the start. They do little coaching, and when employees improve, they don't take notice. What's more, they are far less likely to seek or accept critical feedback from their employees. Why bother to coach employees if they can't change? And why get feedback from them if you can't change?
Number 12. A snowy owl's ears are not visible from the outside, but it has incredible hearing. The feathers on a snowy owl's face guide sounds to its ears, giving it the ability to hear things humans cannot. Each of its ears is a different size, and one is higher than the other. The differing size and location of each ear helps the owl distinguish between sounds. It can hear at the same time the distant hoofbeats of a large deer, the flap of a bird's wings above it, and the digging of a small animal below it. In fact, it has excellent vision, both in the dark and at a distance. After choosing which sound interests it most, the snowy owl moves its head, like a large circular antenna, to pick up the best reception.
Number 13. Frank Barrett, an organizational behavior expert, explains that disrupting routines and looking at a situation from another's perspective can lead to new solutions. A. While everyone else was in meetings on the first day of the workshop, the airline's vice president of marketing had the beds in each leader's hotel room replaced with airline seats. B. After having spent that night in airline seats, the company's leaders came up with some radical innovations. If he had not disrupted their sleeping routines and allowed them to experience their customers' discomfort, the workshop may have ended without any noteworthy changes. C. In a lecture, Barrett shares the story of an airline that was dealing with many complaints about their customer service. The airline's leaders held a workshop to focus on how to create a better experience for their customers.
Number 14. In contrast, the individual who responds to anger in the same way every time has little capacity to constructively adapt his responses to different situations. The goal in anger management is to increase the options you have to express anger in a healthy way. By learning a variety of anger management strategies, you develop control, choices, and flexibility in how you respond to angry feelings. A person who has learned various ways to handle anger is more competent and confident. And competence and confidence brings the strength needed to cope with situations that cause frustration and anger. The development of a set of such skills further enhances our sense of optimism that we can effectively handle the challenges coming to us. Such individuals are more likely to feel frustrated and to have conflicts with others and themselves.
Number 15. Timothy Wilson did an experiment in which he gave students a choice of 5 different art posters, and then later surveyed to see if they still liked their choices. People who were told to consciously examine their choices were least happy with their posters weeks later. People who looked at the poster briefly and then chose later were happiest. Another researcher then replicated the results in the real world with a study set in a furniture store. Furniture selection is one of the most cognitively demanding choices any consumer makes. The people who had made their selections of a study set after less conscious examination were happier than those who made their purchase after a lot of careful examination. According to the experiments, people who thought more carefully about what to choose felt less satisfied with their choices.
Number 16 to 17. A quick look at history shows that humans have not always had abundant food that is enjoyed throughout most of the developed world today. In fact, there have been numerous times in history when food has been rather scarce. As a result, people used to eat more when food was available, since it was questionable if they would be able to eat again. Overeating in those times was essential to ensure survival, and humans received satisfaction from eating more than needed for immediate purposes. On top of that, the biggest pleasure came from eating the highest calorie foods, resulting in a longer-lasting energy reserve. Unfortunately, in some parts of the world, food is still scarce. But most of the world's population today has plenty of food available to survive and thrive. However, this abundance is new, and your body has not caught up, still naturally rewarding you for eating more than needed and for eating the highest calorie foods. These are innate habits and not simple addictions. They are self-preserving mechanisms initiated by your body, ensuring your future survival. But they are irrelevant now. Therefore, it is your responsibility to communicate with your body regarding the new environment of food abundance and the need to kick the inborn habit of overeating.